You know, we serve an amazing God. Please don't mind me if I look over my glasses. We serve such an awesome and amazing God. He's a Father. He's our friend. But He's also God. Stop and think about that for just a minute. God created you in His image. In His likeness, the Bible says. So what we need to start thinking about is, God's a lot like me. Do you like to create things? Do you like to make things? Yes. Do you like to restore things? So does God. We get many of the attributes that we are because of our parents. We inherit them. We've all inherited this stuff from God. But there's also a side of God that we need to understand. One, that He is God. And while He is God and He is my Father, He is my friend, He is first and foremost God. And when we forget that, well, there's a price to pay. And I want us to look in Romans this morning. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Romans, and he was trying to explain to them God, and in particular, God's wrath. For so many years, we've been told that that wrath is evil. There's a time for wrath, okay? We all know you don't want to catch mama's wrath, okay? Anybody been on the receiving end of that has always said it's evil. I forget who I was talking to the other day, and we were talking about things. Well, my mama got me with a wooden spoon. I said, my mama got me with the broom or whatever happened to be in her hand at the time. As if she was brushing her hair, it was that old yellow hairbrush. I swore up and down that thing was going to break. But there's also the side of mama who prayed. There's a time for the wrath, and then there's a time for the love. And as we as parents, most of us in here know, we'd rather love. It's not fun disciplining your children, is it? And you know what the really sad part about it is? You actually hurt yourself too. You have to. That was one of the hardest things for me to grab hold of as a non-commissioned officer in the Marine Corps, was that in order to discipline my troops, I actually had to pay part of the price. That stunk. I'm not the one that screwed up. They were. But guess what? God had to pay part of the price too. But I want to look in Romans chapter 1. Let's go to verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now, you need to understand something. First off, Paul is not just talking about right then. He's talking about from the beginning of time, beginning of mankind. There are people who've known righteousness, but they suppress the truth. Okay? We have the same things going on today. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Here's a real simple way to look at this, folks. Every false religion has a little bit of truth in it. And guess where they got it? It was a revelation. God was actually speaking to them at one time. Buddha had something about peace. Living a tranquil life. That is what we're supposed to live for. I'm sorry, and I have changed a lot, folks. But it bothers me today when preachers are calling for the assassination of world leaders. That's not our job. Leave it to the military, thank you very much. And this is from people who've never served. God said, "I use the governments of the world to bring about justice in other places." And it's not the church's job to call for the assassination of anybody. But yet there were churches praying for the assassination of world leaders. You know, I never, and you can, you've probably all heard me when we prayed. I never prayed for the assassination of Osama bin Laden. I prayed for his salvation. That's what we're called to do. And that's coming from a military man. But we're not called for those things. But all these people, like I said, Buddha, he understood something about peace. Now, I don't know if it was just laying around on a couch all day or what it was, because the boy got pretty big from everything I've seen. But then he became an idol. He became a god in his own mind. So what he had, he now suppressed the truth that pointed to God and directed it to him. Confucius was a wise man. Awesome sayings. Things that are truth. Listen, you need to understand something, folks. Truth is truth, no matter who said it. Because truth is only revealed by God. You just read it. The truth of God is revealed, and these people suppress it, and then they start a following. We've got the same thing going on in the church today. Why do you think there's people suing other ministers because you preached my message? It isn't your message. It's God's message. That's why we don't charge for CDs. You want a CD? We'll make you a CD. Now, don't expect it to have fancy printing all over it and all that. It might be handwritten Sharpie. Truth is the truth. Okay? And so many times I have to laugh. I've got friends who are atheists on Facebook, and they're atheists, and they're actually family members. And they share all of these things. And I'm like, what, are you so stupid you can't see? That's out of the book of Proverbs. But truth is truth. They'll accept it. But they want to hide the source. They want to make it think like the cosmos came up with the truth itself. Really? So, from beginning of mankind, we've been hiding truth. What was revealed, and men pull it to themselves. And look at me, I'm a god. I mean, why do you think God had such a big pet peeve with Egypt? If you've ever done your history, and it's very difficult because Egyptian timelines and Hebrew timelines, but and I forget even which dynasty it is, but I do know Tut was the last of the dynasty. That when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and God brought Egypt to her knees, that dynasty ended. No longer were they gods. See, when we start elevating ourselves as God, there's destruction waiting for us on the other end. Well, I'm a wise person. Yeah, well, that's fine. You may be a wise person. It doesn't make you a god. And I've come to find out most wise people just read something somewhere and said it, because most of them don't live it. Just like a doctor telling you, the doctor, oh, hey, you know, you need to cut back on this. You need to quit smoking. You need to quit drinking. You need to lose some weight. You need to do this. The guy walks out, grabs a bottle of whiskey and a cigar and goes, he knows better. He knows what it's doing to him. So, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Justin. Somebody, we were talking to somebody the other day and said, stop and think about it. It was I'm pretty sure it was either Jesse or Justin, was talking about, think about it. You didn't have to think to breathe. You didn't have to think for your heart to beat. It just does it. We don't have to think. There's nothing we can do to make the sun come up tomorrow. But yet it does it. It does it. These invisible attributes of God are now made manifest in the things that are seen. What makes a tree grow? I've got these huge cottonwoods. 11 of them, right up my driveway. And when I say huge, they're about 90 feet tall and about 4 feet across. They're monsters. Do you know what made that thing grow? This tiny little fuzzy seed floating through the air in June one year. That's what made it grow. And so with 11 of them now, every June, my yard looks like a herd of sheep got annihilated by, massacred by wolves. But inside that, well, there, it's programmed, it's pre-programmed, it's in the DNA. It's in the makeup of the seed. Yeah, who made the seed? God put everything into motion so that it would continue to go. We are amazing creatures in and of ourselves. We're made of dirt. And if it weren't for all the preservatives in us that we eat, and then all the preservatives they put in us when we die, we would turn back to dirt. But yet, we're complex. We think. We act. We can smell. We can taste. We can feel. We can see. We can hear. All of this stuff points that God exists. But today, we try to drown it out and say there is no God. It's just the way it is. But God's power and His Godhead, there is no excuse. Because although they knew God, now he's talking about people who knew God. I believe many of these people, listen, Mahatma Gandhi, one time, he was on the verge. He said he could see things that were wrong. He knew what to do right. But because he found a few hypocrites, okay? He made this statement. I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. He went to Hinduism. He knew God. You know how I know? Because he did the things that were right. But he then turned around and took the image of God and the likeness of God and the things of God and made it into an idol. He had the choice. See, it's why we can't judge people, which, by the way, we're going to get into that here in a second. But because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, which means empty and vain and foolish and useless. And their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The wiser somebody professes to claim to be, the more foolish they become. The more arrogant they become. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now let's look at something here real quick. It says, God also gave them up. He let it happen. He said, all right, this is what you want. I will let you go. You need to understand something, folks. That is the first sign of a true father. Of love. It's not love if you force somebody. It's love if they choose. He said, I'm going to let you go. This is what you think you want. But here's what's going to happen. And he's told us. He told Cain just before he killed Abel. He said, Cain, if you don't bring this into control, sin lies at your door. He let Cain make his own choice. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Today we serve wisdom and knowledge. That's why I said so many people are putting these little posts and little posters, and they're sharing them on Facebook, and they're putting them on every social media. And the truth of the matter is, they're just sharing Scripture. But they're disguising it as their wisdom. Oh, this is so wise. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Like also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. Can I tell you a little something? Everything God does creates life. You want to know what the big deal about the homosexual issue is? No life is created from that union. None whatsoever. You still have to do it God's way. You still got to have a male. You still got to have a female. And God turned them over, and they are now thinking. And this is the problem within the church that is saying this is okay. Just recently I saw a thing of some bishop and his lover, partner, whoever, whatever, and a kid they've got. They did not create that child in that relationship. And a child does indeed need a mother and a father. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And this is where I begin to have problems with what I call organized religion. We say, it's okay if our ministers are molesting children. We'll just move them to another city. I've got a serious problem with that. I don't want to tell you what my father said they should do. It's kind of a joke in our family. My boys say, here's what you do to them. And we just... Why? See, the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. It's calling for the church, us, people, to judge ourselves and to judge within ourselves. If there's sin and corruption, you got to stand accountable for it. You can't just say, well, we'll just brush it under the rug and send you to another city with new kids where people don't know this, and we'll keep it all hush hush. Like I said, I'm not bashing people. I'm bashing what has become something that was supposed to be godly, something that was supposed to be good, and it is now evil. And it is the very thing, the very reason why Christianity is taking the beating it is today. Because we are not what the Bible says we should be. Because you want to know what's sad? He's talking about people who knew God right there. He's talking about people who knew God. They're now proud, they're boasters, disobedient to parents, or all of these things. They hide the truth. And they like to control. They're doing all these things in the name of God, and God has nothing to do with it. And please, I have no idea why I'm still even close on this, because that's not where I wanted to go with this message today. But I think in this day and age, if we will pay attention to what God told even the Apostle Paul, we can be spared. We have so many undiscerning Christians out there that, in my opinion, it's pathetic, folks. Here, do yourself a favor with social media. So Facebook's evil. So is that $20 bill in your pocket. So why don't you give it to me? Facebook's only evil if you allow it to be evil. The computer's only evil if you allow it. It's an inanimate object. It cannot be evil. Only you can. Okay? A statue of a goat is not evil. It's just a goat. It's what we use them for that makes them evil. Okay? A gun is not evil. It's an inanimate object. And guess what? None of my guns have ever killed a person. Not one. They're not evil. My spoons, on the other hand, they have done their fair share of dipping out the ice cream. And but undiscerning. So many times today, I'm going to throw this out there, because I know many of you are on Facebook, okay? When you see something, here, I'll just throw it from the Huffington Post or Conservative Daily, scratch it. They do not check their sources. They're stirring you up with lies. Okay? Tim McGraw's on anti-gun tour. That floored me. And then the next one, Toby Keith says he's a Democrat and Obama's a good Democrat. What? What's going on here? People are stirring because Christians are the most undiscerning group on the planet. The Bible says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In other words, we don't fall for everything, folks. You know why we're falling for everything today? Because we stand for absolutely nothing. We've backed away from what is truth. And well, this is just the way it's always been. Welcome to the real world. It's changing. The world changes. God's word does not change. I've got so many, I know they're well-meaning friends, and I know that they love God. But they are letting the political realm rule their life. Let me tell you a little something, folks. I still want you to get out and vote. But what's to be is going to happen. You ain't going to stop the Antichrist from rising. You aren't going to start a millennial group that's going to stand against the Antichrist. Don't know where that whole theory came from. I heard it years and years and years ago. We're going to battle the Antichrist to the death. One of my favorite things to say, because I always heard my dad say it, and I'd heard other people say it when, anytime, like in the whole Iranian hostage scare or deal back in the 70s, wasn't a scare, it was a reality. Send in the Marines. Then one day in 1990, a revelation hit me. I am a Marine. What are you talking about sending me in? They're shooting real bullets. Let's stop and think about this for a minute. But so many people are just willing to put everybody else's life on the line. They don't think twice about it. But undiscerning. Let's start practicing some common sense. On all levels, folks. We don't even need to talk about proud, do we? Church pride. Christian pride, gay pride, this pride, that pride. We got to be the most prideful people on beings on this planet. Maybe next to lions. Chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm supposed to be judging what's right and what's wrong. Well, listen, we know what's right and what's wrong. But that's not your job to judge, and it's not your job to go around telling everybody what's right and wrong. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit will tell us what's wrong and what's right. But we know... Oh, wait a minute, let me back up. I'll just start it over again. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Can I tell you a little something here, folks? And it's proved out, at least with one person that I know, two people that I know for a fact. Both of them, from their pulpits, stood up and they preached against homosexuals and against homosexuality, and both of them fell to homosexual affairs. Both of them, mighty men of God, raised up many, many good believers. What's that telling us? We need to watch. We can't, and that's just them. It doesn't even include all the parishioners throughout the body of Christ. We quit judging. We quit falling. Because if we're judging somebody, we can't be praying for them. And nowhere does our Bible tell us to judge them. Jesus said, don't judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. In other words, here's truth. It never moves. But here's our judging standard way over here. And it's kind of, well, it comes over here because of this. Then we got this. Well, this is a gray area, so let's come back over here. You see what we do? The truth never moves. It's why God does not have to change. He does not move. That's why if you tell a story and you told the truth, you never have to really try to remember it because the truth is the truth. But if you tell a lie, you better remember every detail of the lie you told because you will get caught. Verse 3, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's not picketing places of ill repute that brings people to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's his mercy. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Because I'm here to tell you, as a former sinner, when I would come across some well-meaning airman or marine or sailor standing out in front of the strip clubs where I wanted to go visit, I walked to the other side of the street because they weren't doing it out of love. Several of them, I actually knew the minister who was there, and he needed to go sit under a good minister for a while because he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't teach love. It was condemnation, judgment. The reason I turned my heart back to God is deep down, I knew he loved me. I knew he was a good God, even though I hadn't always seen it through his people. And from that point on, it took me quite a few years to learn to forgive some people. And I still have to walk every day and practice forgiveness. I am not going to lie to you. You get up every morning, some days you're like, I forgive them, Lord. That was 20 years ago. I forgive them. You can ask yourself, well, how do I know if I'm walking in unforgiveness? Well, if you think about them and you start feeling like the Hulk. You might have a little unforgiveness issue. But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now, I'm not getting into it right now. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That Greek, you could throw in us in that group, okay? Greek or Gentile. Whoa. For there is no partiality with God. See, our belief system is based on more than words. Not in words only. But indeed, the things we do. We say we love, but yet we have no problem telling a racist joke. I know I'm preaching to a whole group of white people right now. You've never told a racist joke, have you? Never told a Polack joke. I ain't lying, I already told you I was a racist. Was. I didn't realize I was. I mean, all I knew is I grew up here in Morrow County for the most part. I think there were two black kids in the school system, maybe three. One at Mount Gilead, one at Highland, and one at Northmore at that time. So we never saw black kids, never got to be around them. And my family, well, they came from the hills, so anybody else's family who came across that river, you know exactly how well that runs deep. But then I started learning something, that if I hate my brother who I can see, then I don't love God. You want to know one of the biggest reasons God threw me in the Marine Corps? My senior drill instructor was a black man. He was the man, he said, I'm your daddy. One of my best friends was a black boy named Reggie. Now, the hilarious part about Reggie is he was actually Cuban. He was Cuban and his mom was his dad was Cuban, his mom was some sort of Indian. And he had a white sister, and then here's Reggie. Like, Reggie, we don't know what happened to you. You one ugly sucker, too. You didn't say that within arm's reach because he was a wrestler. Made really good friends with another man from the Cape Verdean, the Caverdian Islands off the coast of Africa, Tavares. Had to ride all the way to Myrtle Beach with him in front of an S-10. Guess who got to ride in the middle? Wasn't my truck, and I had the shorter leg, and it was a 5-speed. But I was going to Myrtle Beach. Broke. Probably wasn't a bad thing. But you see, what God did was he submersed me in a world where I had to be around people of different beliefs, different ethnic groups. I had a roommate who had family who one of them was a leader in the KKK. And then I had my other friends. And I'm going to tell you right now, that white roommate betrayed me more than any of them. He lied on me more than anybody. And I started learning to judge the man, not the collar. Character speaks more to me than color now. And then I got submersed in a church in North Carolina that even the local churches down there rejected it because, well, we were too mixed. We had Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, blacks, whites, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, you name it, we had it. I think Johnny was actually Chinese, part Chinese. And even little Simitrio, anybody watch Swamp Loggers? The ones from North Carolina where they're out there. Well, Simitrio was the backhoe operator, and we went to church with him. He's a real person, and that is his real name. He was just a quiet, unassuming guy. And yet, people hate him. He's a hard worker. Go figure. But not trying to get people all wound up on racism. Some of you may not have that problem. If you do, I pray you get over it. Because as Rob and I were talking this morning, in everybody's woodpile, there's a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of everything in everybody's wood. What was it, Barbie? They said 2% on your DNA test. North African. I always told her, I said, I knew we had some black in there somewhere. 2%. Yeah, it could be. We're just assuming. 2% North African. I mean, somewhere along the time, which I almost bet everybody's will go back to that point. So, when we're talking about the wrath of God, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see more and more of it in people who refuse to want to give God the glory due him as God. I praise God for science, but there's so many preachers out there, they're fighting against science and scientists just because not all of them believe in God. Not all the preachers believe in God anymore either. Most of the Jews are agnostic. They don't even believe in God. They believe in their traditions. Thomas Jefferson had his own Bible written because he didn't believe in the miracles of Christ. I have no idea how he did the New Testament. Yeah, it was a short thing. So in other words, Jesus didn't raise from the dead either. And by the way, that is a stipulation for believing in Christ. That you must believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. I forgot where I was going. I've told you, it's a short train sometimes and I fall off the caboose. But if we will, one, quit judging each other and quit judging the world. The Bible says the world is already judged. Are you hearing me? So many people think they gotta, that's evil. Well, no kidding, it's evil. Pray for them. You can't talk about somebody you're praying for. I have continued to pray that God would move on our president. Continued to pray for him to do that. I don't like where this country is going, but you know why this country has done everything that it has done? It's because we chose to judge, and the church became as filthy as the world. When I say church, I'm not talking the organized LLCs and corporations. I'm talking the people. While we live in grace, that is no justification for us to live in sin. Grace is not an excuse to live in sin. That's what I was talking about, the freedom. The freedom we got is the grace that we can overcome that sin, not continue to be dragging around. I'm born again. I'm just dragging around my sin. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. And did you see what brought it all back? Judging. When we judge, we are condemned the same. I don't know about you, but it starts putting a little bit of a brighter light on my judgment, mental attitude. And I'll tell you what happens. The more we refuse, the more we start acting like those that we are in judgment with. That's what I told you. The particular ministers I'm thinking of, they preached vehemently against homosexuals. And some of them at times were borderline militant about it. Instead of, God loves you. They could not say, I love you. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to know how much, I don't care. And I'm just saying that's, yeah, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you love. We were never called to be the smartest. Many times Jesus said, just go, open your mouth. Can I point out something? He picked 12 derelicts of society. One of them, today, we would label as a terrorist, an extremist. Simon the Zealot. Who do you think produced the swords? And I got a feeling he had both of them inside his robe. This whole AD series, like I said, it's pretty well. There's some things that they've missed and condensed and whatever. Part of that I can understand. But there's a whole underlying thing with the zealots. And you don't think about it. Maybe Simon's whole purpose in the very beginning for following Jesus was so that he could get closer to the Romans, because the Roman soldiers were obviously following close by and hearing. Because you have Cornelius, the centurion. You got a centurion who comes up and says, Lord, you heal my servant. Don't you think Simon was sitting there shaking? If I just get another step closer, it'll be worth it. Fishermen, come on. You can go fishing one day with a fishing pole and you stink. How about you stand in it up to your knees? You're covered in fish slime. Oh, yeah, let's not forget the tax collector. Our favorite people this time of the year. You got poor Matthew. How about Luke? Luke was a physician. They weren't well-respected people that they're supposed to be today. They were guys who were like, hey, let's try this, see if it works. Although we got a few, I think, are still trying that today. But they were guessers. This might work. Here, let's stick these leeches on you. We know you got the flu. Let's stick these leeches on you and bleed you out. We now know that that's not, even though there's still people doing it today. But then something happened. The Holy Spirit came. He rested upon all of them, except Judas. He was replaced by Matthias. The Holy Spirit rested upon them, and they went out and they changed the world. 12 men started it all. 12. Don't you think that when Peter was walking to the temple to pray and the beggar was there on the side of the road begging for alms, don't you think Peter wanted to give him something? But Peter didn't have anything right then. He said, "Silver and gold, I have none. But what I do have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Boldness came upon Peter. And the Bible says instantly the man's ankle bones were strengthened and he stood. He had never walked before. So, we're too worried about whether we're qualified. And I can promise you right now, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Because when it comes to being studious, I'm not going to lie, certain subjects had my full attention. Shop class and gym class. Those were my two favorite classes. And any class with a bunch of girls. Can't deny that. Which was usually typing back then. I was one of three boys in a class full of girls. It was great. I would not consider myself an overly educated man, but what I will tell you is God qualified me. He called me and he qualified me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, no amount of schooling can replace what the Holy Spirit can do in one instant in your life. So I don't know about you. There's a wrath that's going to come upon the world for what it's doing. We've just seen the tip of the iceberg. I'll just set you up right now for that. Everybody's breathing a little bit because gas prices are lower. It's just a prelude to a kiss. Israel's going to get attacked. There's not a thing we can do about it. And the sad part is we are probably technology-wise, and economically, we were the number one in the world. People used to fear our military, which to a degree they still do. But not like they used to. But what you need to understand is you don't have to worry. Because even when gas was pushing $4 a gallon, unemployment, people were losing their jobs. I'm not saying everything went hunky-dory for everybody. But we didn't have one person lose their job. We had people being promoted and given pay raises. By the way, that whole tithing thing. So don't ever think that it's futile to serve God. Because that's what people are trying to tell you today. Why do you serve God? Because he loves me. It's more than I can say about you. Really. How often do your friends who are trying to get you to turn away from God, do they really love you? Could you trust them with your wife? That's clarifies whether they're a friend or not. Otherwise, you're just an acquaintance. Because my friends, who are my friends, know that if they touch my wife, well, they lose the friend of pastor and they get introduced to the jealous Marine. And I may be 20-some years older, but I've learned to cheat even better. Who else? JD, I was talking to. He said, yeah, we don't fight fair. We just cheat. So, out of all this, folks, don't judge. I can't preach that message enough. Because here's what's coming upon the world. God's wrath. And you don't have to be a part of it. Your economics is not tied to the world if you're a tither. God will move on your behalf if you're faithful. If you love Him, you love people, don't worry about trying to figure out how you're going to get to China to preach to the underground world. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't think they really want Americans here because we're prideful, arrogant, and we're stupid. We really are. When we go overseas, we're stupid. I watched a show last night. I've never seen it before, and just let it play. And I thought, I'll watch it and see. And the woman's like, well, we started cleaning the basement out, and well, from the we cleaned out the closet in the basement, and then we decided to clean the basement, and then we decided to clean the whole house. Then we decided we needed a new house, so then we decided maybe to move to Napa Valley. We thought, well, no, we don't want to move to Napa Valley. Well, we thought maybe changing states. Then we thought, well, let's move to Switzerland. But Switzerland's full of foreigners. And her daughter-in-law looked at her and said, you do realize that if you move to Switzerland, you'll be the foreigner. And she said, no, I'm an American. I would like to say that is a joke, but you can ask anybody, especially in the military, who's ever been to a foreign post, we act like we own it. And we may have actually fought for it at one time, but that's the way we act as Americans. I don't think the Chinese really want us over there. Hey, you're going to give away our location of our underground churches, get us killed because you're stupid. Anyhow, all right, let's stand. But if you haven't figured it out yet, God is a good God. And He is a faithful rewarder to those who love Him. And Jesus said, if you love me, go out and picket the strip club. No. If you love me, go out and hang billboards up with my name on them above the adult bookstore. No. If you love me, love one another. Because see, here's what I need, and I've shared this before. People that are frequenting those places of business, there comes a point they will become hard of heart, and they don't care. The church I'm particularly thinking of that was picketing, and I think they still are, picketing the strip club got hard. They said, fine, we're going to picket your church Sunday morning. Well, we got the strippers to the... Yeah, they're standing out front of your church. Use your head. How are you bringing them in? They will not come in if you're condemning them. Love them. Because here's a revelation, folks. Because we look at them, oh, they're all evil. See, God judges by truth. Truth does not move, right? And I read this in a news report. The majority of those women who are stripping in there are just trying to make ends meet. Their husbands have ran off, and they have no other way to feed their kids. So you know what I say to the church? Come up with a way they can make a living. And leave their clothes on. I know that sounds too simple. But we'd rather step back and judge. I watched The Lone Ranger last night. I don't care what critics say. I liked it. I liked the Johnny Depp characters. And I liked that one. I liked Tonto. Yeah. Feeding a dead crow. But there was a point in there when they were going into this brothel, and the Presbyterians are out front of the brothel. They're picketing and they're singing, I think, Onward Christian Soldiers. They're marching in the streets and they're doing all this, but the Lone Ranger and Tonto come riding in on a horse, and they stop with them and they turn at him and start shouting, "Heathen." They start judging him because of his background. Heathen, heathen, heathen. And then they actually brought in an uprising and stormed the brothel. Not to chase out the sinners, to chase out the Indian. That's not what's supposed to be happening in the church. I don't care. Listen, my ancestors used to worship sticks, and they might have worshipped those stupid stones that are piled up at Stonehenge. Okay, they worshiped sticks and stones. They made up their own gods, because when we found out, it comes across, we're Viking too. So it's like, yeah, they had all kinds of funky beliefs. Really doesn't make me want to watch the show Vikings, though. I'm like, thank God. That's a violent show. This has come from somebody that likes war movies. But anyhow, folks, don't judge the sinners. The Bible says they're already condemned. You need to love them. Because I'm going to remind you, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, she was drug out from the adultery bed, maybe had a blanket wrapped around her. And Jesus looked down after everybody had left. He said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "There's nobody." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. But," he said, "go and sin no more." He did not waver on the truth. That was sin, but I'm not condemning you. She saw love for the first time. And so many people today are looking for that. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, I thank you that we have your word, that we can sit down, we can study, and we can hear the truth of what your Holy Spirit is saying to us about you and about the things that affect our very life. Now, Lord, you know each and every one of our hearts, Father. You know that some of us are sitting here saying, "Well, I don't judge," and the truth of the matter is we probably are the worst. Father, help us. Help us to overcome that. Illuminate these areas to us, Lord, that we may let your grace and your mercy flow through them and we may forgive. Because, Father, we do not want to be on the receiving end of your wrath. And we pray for those that we're holding in unforgiveness and the people we're judging. Father, that they may know the truth and they may find the truth. And that they may be free as well and call you Lord. And Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I know many of them have many things on their minds. But Lord, I bless them. I thank you, Father, that you're going before them. You're making their path straight. Father, you're giving them wisdom in areas that they're lacking. And you're directing their steps. So, Father, bless them. Bless their places of employment. Father, bring peace where there is turmoil. In Jesus' name, amen.